Well, the kids might be interested in this. I learned a few tricks in court, what are known as lawyer's tricks. And I discovered that one could not say what one thought without one, first of all, established some basis for evidence. And I had no basis for evidence that I had a father because I couldn't bring him into court. So I had to ask the jury to assume that at some point in history, I arrived on the scene of mundane affairs and therefore I must have had a father. Now, there's no legal argument against that, was there? But on other points, there were legal arguments on more trivial things than that, where I was prevented from saying things. Now, before we come back to my father, I would like to say this, that when you read the speech, as my good friend, I'll call him that, and I only just met him, Mr. Pennett, edited this work, condensed that speech, you'll find an argument in there that I held it was the constitutional right of any citizen to hold any theory of government that he wished, provided he did it in a legal and peaceful fashion. But the reader of the speech will think that that was my point of view. It came about this way. I came across this particular argument up in the law library, and it was written by an eminent jurist of Canada. The judge knew him, the lawyers knew him, and I tried to bring in what he had to say as a point of view, and I was stopped because he wasn't in court. And I couldn't get it in any other way except to tell the jury this was my argument. And I presented it in that fashion. And that was the only way you could get anything across. Because when any matter came up of dispute in that trial, immediately, Justice McArthur, boom, out went the jury. And the point in bringing the matter up was lost. I wasn't there to convince the judge or the other lawyers. I wanted to talk to the jury, but you couldn't get that across. Well, now, back to my father. Okay?
Well, no, you arrived, you were a socialist in Britain, in other words.
Yes.
That, what do you mean? You had read some works of Marx, or did you?
Yes.
What works did you?
The first thing that struck me, as a youngster, you know, with ideals, I wanted to find out what this thing was. So you go to the proper authority, which was Capital.
And you read Capital?
And I opened that up, and there's no vision of the future in this, no. But a statement that the wealth of all those societies where the capitalist system prevails manifests itself as a huge accumulation of commodities. And then I came across formula, mathematical formula, and I was going to school at that time. This was something different than I've been looking for, and I just took all of it. And I was 23 when I came to Canada.
That would be what year?
1911.
And you were, when you said that your road to socialism was via Marx's Capital, what did that really mean? Did you mean, did you then join a socialist party?
When I came to this town, yes.
You didn't join one in Britain?
No.
Although there were...
No, I had a different kind of upbringing anyway, which is not germane to this argument.
But you mention in your address a whole number of outstanding intellectuals in Britain who were also socialists.
Yes.
Had they influenced you, like Heinemann, Balfour, Bax?
I read everything I could get my hands on then, yes.
And
still do, for that matter. Yeah.
And then when you got to Canada, what, did you immediately join the Socialist Party?
My father was a member of the first executive committee of the Socialist Party of Canada.
Where was that?
in 1904, and that party was formed in 1902.
Where?
Here.
In Vancouver?
On the island, yes.
In other words, the first Socialist Party of Canada was here in Vancouver.
Well, I understand it, and I got this from my dad and others. There was a Socialist Party on the mainland called the BC Socialist Party, and a party on the island called the Revolutionary Socialist Party of Canada. They met, and they decided to drop the BC and drop the Revolutionary and made it the Socialist Party of Canada. And that was about 1902.
And was it linked with similar branches in other parts of the...
In Manitoba and Alberta, they were, yes.
So we can establish at least that the Socialist Party in Canada in its genesis was certainly not an importation from Russia.
It wasn't an importation from Britain either, although there were Britishers, you know, there were Welshmen and Cornishmen, Scotchmen. Yeah.
And what kind of activity would the Socialist Party of Canada conduct?
Oh, we had a lot of activity in those days. You know.
Was it just mainly propaganda?
Propaganda.
Education?
Yeah. Every Sunday night in the old Empress Theatre, a propaganda meeting that would be filled. There came a time when we filled three theatres in this town. You know.
And who would be mostly in the audience? Were they workers, or were they intellectuals,
workers,
or were they students?
Businessmen, mixed. Yeah. Of course, Henry Ford hadn't come along with his choo-choo where you could travel. There's nothing else to do, I suppose, on Sunday night, you know, in this town. And this was open. And a theatre opened. You know. They were good days.
Now, how did you come to trade union activity? Did you come to it as a result of being a socialist, or just as a
I'm being a worker.
Uh-huh.
I organized, or helped to organize, the first timber workers in this town, international timber workers, and the men of the sawmills, and so on. I had been editor of the Clarion before that. Then I went to work.
What was the Clarion?
The Western Clarion was the official organ of the Socialist Party of Canada in that time. I had been brought up in building construction in England and worked as clerk of works on outside jobs, worked as cost clerk inside. And at the ripe age of 16, I had charge of a big construction work. The last work I was on before I left England was a huge packing warehouse for Lloyd's on, I forget the name of the street now, in Manchester. So I knew lumber, and that qualified me as the shipping clerk for a sawmill in town here. We ought to organize it.
Did you see any organic or ideological connection between your membership in the Socialist Party of Canada and your trade union activity?
Well, they go together. I don't see how a man can separate them. If he is a worker, you know, you may say intellectuals can become members of a socialist clique and they have nothing to do with trade unions. But then there's no call for them. But if you're working for wages and you have any sense, you know it's no use butting your head against the wall. Again, in management, you work together, don't you? That's trade unionism. The boss knows that. He organized before the workers did. Yeah.